The reading is from Matthew 14, and it's verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me here." And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and children.
Thanks very much. Well, isn't this great? Feeding of the 5,000. It's not a coincidence that we've chosen this passage and you're all here. Let me just pray as we start. Heavenly Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us, for your holy name's sake. Amen. Well, our gospel passage starts with Jesus hearing some really dreadful news. And I know many of us here have been through life and have experienced those gut-wrenching moments when we hear really dreadful news. And in this case, it's about the beheading of John the Baptist. I guess we can't really understand what it would have been like for Jesus, fully God yet also fully human, to hear such tragic and sad news. I expect that as he hears of John's grisly death, his mind goes to what he knows lies ahead of his own journey, his journey to Golgotha and his public execution on a cross. And so, burdened by this news, we're told that he withdrew by boat privately. So I think we know that he wouldn't have been on his own. Now, at this time of social distancing, I guess few of us would particularly choose to distance ourselves any further than the government has already told us to do. But at that moment, Jesus chooses some peace and quiet, to be as far away as possible from the crowds and just to be with his inner circle for company. So they get into the boat, they set sail. I imagine it must have been a pretty quiet, depressed journey. And they set off in search of peace and solitude. But then we're told that the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. I could just imagine his disciples, you know, what they were going through. It was like, "I know, boss, I've got a good idea. There's this really quiet little cove. It doesn't take long to get to. It's just no one will find us there. You can have all the peace and solitude you want when we get there." Jesus is going, "Okay, fine." And then they're all, you know, they're sailing or rowing or whatever they're doing. And suddenly it's like, "Hang on, do you see all those people over there moving?" It's like, oh no, this plan is going to fail. Their hearts sink as their plan to find a peaceful place unravels. And then the crazy thing is, the crowds actually beat them there. They flocked around the top of the lake and beaten him to the other side. We're told that verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, I was just wondering if that any young people want to do, I don't even know if I'm allowed to do this, but with no need to, for anybody to touch each other, would anyone like to pretend to be very ill, and then I need four other children to carry the side of a blanket, a corner of a blanket? This is totally unrehearsed, unprepared for, so this may just crash and burn where I am right now. Okay, I'm not detecting a crowd. Oh, yeah! That is Magnus, if I am not mistaken. Magnus, come over here. Right, he is the perfect size for an ill child to be carried to Jesus for healing. So let's get the blanket out there. So Magnus, you come and lie in the blanket, and you've got to pretend to be very, very ill, okay? Okay, now I need four responsible people who are not going to drop Magnus to pick up the blanket. Lara, come on, you can come and help. There we go. Right, one on each corner. Oh, yeah, please, yeah. Do you be strong enough to lift a corner of a blanket? Let's do it. Let's do it. I need... Okay, Theo's going to do it. Right, no, Magnus, we need you to lie down. Because remember, you're very sick. That's it. Okay, you guys. You are going to walk around the lake shore like that and then come to Jesus just here, okay? What? Yeah, round there, yeah. Okay. There we go. Well done. Well done. These people have come. Oh, they've heard that Jesus is this amazing preacher and healer. This little boy is really, really sick. He can't walk. He's got a high fever, and the mum is so desperate to see him healed that they're prepared to carry him all the way around the lake, all the way to the other side, to where Jesus, it's all about Jesus. They want to take him to Jesus to be healed. And Jesus is sitting on the other side of the lake. He's thinking, I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted, I've had such bad news about my friend John the Baptist, but look at these people. They've brought the sick to me for healing. So Jesus, I'm going to have to do it from here, but the Holy Spirit can work. I need to be by the microphone, okay? Magnus, lie down, lie down. Shh. Okay, look at poor little Magnus. And they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus just says, Magnus, get up and run back to your mother now. But Jesus had compassion on them and healed their sick. And when the evening came, and one can, you know, it says 5,000. Apparently back then, they only counted the men. So there's probably way more than 5,000 when you take into account the women and the children. And they would have bought, Jesus would have been working overtime on all these miraculous healings. But when the evening came, he wants to feed them. He wants them fed before they take the long journey home. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, above all, I think it tells us of Jesus's compassion. Just when he really needed a break, just when he really needed some peace and quiet to recover, he pours himself out yet again. This is no celebrity preacher heading back into the air-conditioned green room for his ice-cold Coke where his makeup is adjusted and his PA is making sure nobody else bothers him. He is in the thick of them, meeting their needs. Jesus had come to find peace and quiet and loneliness, but instead he finds this vast crowd demanding all he could give them. He might so easily have resented them. But he doesn't, because Jesus wasn't like that. So far from finding them a nuisance, he's moved with compassion for them. This sort of compassion that Jesus models to us is surely an example we should all try to imitate. We had a lovely example of compassion this afternoon. Jade broke down in Boreham Wood. You can ask her later what she was doing in Boreham Wood. Quite an interesting...
I had a car break down. I wasn't having a breakdown.
Okay. The car broke down in Boreham Wood. Okay. And Lara had compassion on her and drove all the way down to Boreham Wood with some jump leads to get her started and on the way back. It's tough, it's costly, but this kind of compassion is indispensable. And we see that he meets different sorts of needs in our story. Because, you know, without any medical knowledge, let alone a National Health Service, physical healing was a massive issue. Guys, you will all know here, just think how many... I mean, if Lucia, when she was... I can't remember which child it was. But if there hadn't been an NHS, she hadn't been in a hospital... Lucia and the child would be dead. I'm sure we've all, those of us of a certain age, have all got stories like that. You know, but that's what it was like 2,000 years ago. So meeting people's needs for physical healing was really important. But so often our spiritual healing is as important, if not more important. And so he does these countless miracles. And he meets their material needs too. His disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." I could just imagine their reaction. It's like, what on earth do you mean? Unless you hadn't noticed, we are on a deserted beach in the middle of nowhere with just a rough track. There's no shops, there's nothing. And even if there was a shop, it would have to be like some massive out-of-town Tesco to suddenly produce a meal for 6,000 or 7,000 people. Now, there are different things I could teach you from this miraculous meal. I could show you, for example, that it is a foretaste of this, what theologians called a messianic banquet. This is the picture we get of this is in later on in Matthew in chapter 22, when the story goes, the king invites lots of people in, and actually the people who end up in the messianic banquet are all the people on the edges of society who you would never have expected to have been invited in the first place. This is a foretaste of what's going to happen in heaven. I could teach you all about that. This incredible party where God is the host and all sorts of people you'd never expect to see are given a place at the feast. And those who refuse the invitation, when they change their minds, are barred entry forever. I could also suggest that this is a foretaste of some sacramental meal, i.e. like a Holy Communion, like a Thanksgiving meal, where the bread is blessed, which it was in our story, and broken and then shared. And even the smallest scraps of food give the recipients the energy and the sustenance they need for their spiritual journey ahead. But what I want to share with you is this. Jesus uses just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Did he need the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Of course not. He could have served up beef bourguignon, a fillet steak for everybody, a wonderful pan-fried roast chicken in a jus of wild thyme and lemon. He could have served up anything he wanted to do just by the click of his fingers. But Jesus works his miracle by saying, "Bring the loaves and the fishes here to me." He works his miracle with the small offerings of what they bring him. And what's fascinating is he doesn't make huge demands on them. He doesn't ask them for stuff that they haven't got. He just says, "Bring to me the little that you have." And for us today, what Jesus does demand is that we share our faith. We tell others about Jesus, but he makes no demands on us for what we do not have. If all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that is good enough for him. Sometimes when I'm trying to recruit people onto the team, whether it's in a paid role or an unpaid role, people say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm good enough. I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I've got the right, I'm equipped to do that job. But what Jesus is saying to us here is, come to me as you are, however ill-equipped, bring to me what you have, however little, however insignificant, and I will use you greatly in my service. He's not looking for capability. Jesus is looking for availability. Little is always much in the hands of Jesus. But you must bring it. You must make yourself available. Someone who made themselves available was a 21-year-old music college student. She took the cheapest ship she could find. This kind of gives you the rough idea how long ago this was. Calling at the greatest number of countries and prayed to know where to disembark. She arrived in Hong Kong in 1966 and came to a place called the Walled City. It was a small, densely populated, lawless area where the police never ventured. It was a high-rise slum for drug addicts, gangs, and sex workers. She wrote, "I love this dark place. I hated what was happening in it, but I wanted to be nowhere else. It was almost as if I could already see another city in its place, and that city was ablaze with light. It was my dream. There was no more crying, no more death or pain. The sick were healed, addicts set free, the hungry filled. There were families for orphans, homes for the homeless, and a new dignity for those who'd lived in shame. I had no idea how to bring this about, but with visionary zeal, imagined introducing the Walled City people to the one who could change it all, Jesus." Jackie Pullinger took what little she had and let God use her. She had no capability, but lots of availability. And she spent over half a century working with heroin addicts, gang members, and sex workers. She said, "God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet. The trouble with so many of us is that we have had hard hearts and soft feet." Jackie is a glowing example of the 2 points I want you to remember from this talk. First, huge compassion, in that she has, over the decades, met these people's needs, material and spiritual. Second, she gave God what little she had and allowed him to use her in such a way that thousands upon thousands of lives have been changed because of her. Jesus needs what we can bring him. It may not be much, but he needs it. It may well be that the world is denied miracle after miracle and triumph after triumph because we will not bring to Jesus what we have and what we are. If we would lay ourselves on the altar of his service, there is no saying what he could do with us and through us. We may be sorry, we may be embarrassed that we have not more to bring, and rightly so, but that is no reason to fail to bring what we do have. Remember, little is always much in the hands of Christ. Amen.